Well, hello, hello, and a rather warm welcome to today's show. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station. A rather warm welcome to Acupuncture Point. Oh, hello, 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 and welcome to today's show. You're listening to Kevin Durgin. I am an acupuncture practitioner and also a rather proud new author of the rather fabulous book, Delicious Mauritius, Tastes and Tales from My Mother's Kitchen. So grateful that you've joined us here on Acupuncture Point. Coming up in today's show, we are going to meet a rather fabulous man, Mr. Chris Davies. He is the CEO of the Association of Acupuncture Clinicians. This is the fastest growing acupuncture organisation in the UK today that is blazing a trail for both patients and also acupuncture practitioners in the UK. So we're going to have a fabulous conversation coming up. And we're also going to play another rip-roaring round of Game of Themes. And if you'd like to join in the tremendous fun, all you need to do is to see if you are able to guess the theme that links together all of the frankly fabulous songs that I'll be playing for you.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Hello there, you're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station, available online via the UK Health Radio app and also via good old Alexa. Thank you so much for supporting Acupuncture Point. One of the absolute joys for me of presenting this show is that I get to meet with some of the movers and shakers in the acupuncture world. And I'm so absolutely thrilled to be joined now by Chris Davies, a mover and shaker, if ever there was one. Chris is the CEO of the Association of Acupuncture Clinicians. Welcome to Acupuncture Point, Chris Davies.
Hello and thank you. Good to be here.
Absolutely brilliant, brilliant, brilliant to have you, Chris. Now, we've got so much to talk about. I'm a member of the Association of Acupuncture Clinicians, and I'm also on its working board. But I'd like you, for the benefit of all of our listeners, just to describe what is the AAC?
The AAC is a really modern and dynamic new association that's been around the last 18 months, almost 2 years now. And we've really changed a lot of things that have happened in the industry because we just weren't happy with them as practitioners. Because obviously you're a practitioner, Kevin, and I am as well. So we're not just part of an association or working in the association. You know, we've actually got our own clinics and our own patients. And so we have a real understanding of the issues that you come up in clinic as a small issue, but also the larger things going forward of where we want to be and moving forward. So the association is really there to help and enable that and really be a voice for those people that want to make a change in the industry, because not much has changed in the last 20 years or so. Really, people have tried to make changes, but for whatever reason, they haven't quite gone through. And now I think we can really push forward and do some things. And obviously, we have done in the last 18 months, we've accomplished massive changes, which industry standard changes, which haven't been done and saved 20 years. So we really are getting there, and there's more work to do, but there's hope that we can do it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, speaking of changes, our organisation first started off life as the British Acupuncture Organisation. And earlier on this year, it emerged, reinvigorated, brand new website, brand new logo as the Association of Acupuncture Clinicians. What's with the name change, Chris?
Well, I think there were a couple of things. I think the word British was a bit sort of old fashioned in a way. Some people did comment that that wasn't quite, you know, didn't quite represent us necessarily. And, you know, internationally, we had some people on board as well from Portugal and even as far as Hong Kong that are still members. So it didn't quite fully represent buzz in the word. But also, it was really about the change in healthcare status that we managed to secure and have us lifted on the Office National Statistics 100 places up into the healthcare professional category, along with osteopaths and physiotherapists. So obviously we got that. That was a huge change for the industry and everybody in it. And, you know, we didn't just do it for ourselves. We did it for anyone who was qualified to do that. And the people who met that criteria obviously were all in our association. And so we needed really a name change to represent that. And clinician really sort of came across as the key word, really. I think it represents what we do in the industry. It talks about not being theory-based or research-based and more actually doing the work of healing, but also outside of the sort of normal realms of a clinic where you do look at. And in Chinese medicine, of course, we look at external influences and you can resolve the issue internally and find the cause internally. But generally with the body, there's always an external cause, you know, whatever that may be, diet, lifestyle, you know, emotional issues. So there's something there. And I think that the definition clinician covered that as well for us. So it's just really when we saw that sort of definition, it represented us entirely. And that really showed the new status off whilst also covering acupuncture and not losing our traditional roots and heritage.
Mm. I absolutely love the word clinician because it is a word that is understood not just within the acupuncture Chinese medicine world, but it's understood in the wider world. And my hope for this style of medicine is that it becomes more and more integrated into conventional medical treatments. And I think that us being classified, you know, with the Office of National Statistics, and also us having this using this title of clinicians, I think all of these things just help to add to our ability to begin to speak the language of our Western medical counterparts.
Absolutely. And there's integration there, isn't there? We've got to come towards each other. There's no point us stood on one side sort of saying that the medical world doesn't understand this. We don't make our own efforts. And we're doing that. And obviously, we're being accepted more and more all the time. It's going that way. So we just need to push further now and do more if we can do and drive it forward to the next stages.
I love that. Driving things forward to the next stages. We're going to come up to plans for the future slightly later on, but let's go back. So let's go back in time to when BAA was just a fledgling idea. It was a tiny little seed yet to germinate. Why did you decide that you wanted to create a new ACU organization? What was going through your mind?
Well, obviously, I'm the CEO of the British Acupuncture Federation. So there, my job is to carry out what the board wants me to execute and go through and accomplish those things. But everybody was thinking fairly unanimously the same across the board about associations. And I wasn't really happy with associations generally, you know, ones inside BAF and outside BAF. They've been the same for 20 years. Nothing had really changed. They weren't really being dynamic. They weren't listening to the members. And if anything, they were governing downwards to the members rather than the members asking for things and actually driving the association forward. And specifically the AAC, or as it was at the time, the British Acupuncture Association, was put together because we were being requested by lots of people who were sort of out on their own, that left their association and wanted to join somewhere, but were a degree level. And there wasn't any of the groups within BAF at that time that were specifically matched their training and their environment. So they didn't really have a home to go to. And I, you know, pushed for hard for this to try and make sure there was a place where people could join and could actually have some influence and drive things forwards. And then fortunately, it came together in COVID. It was a time where, fortunately, we'd done a lot of work and we managed to get open within the first lockdown within about 8 days. And so March 31st, we were back open in the first lockdown. And so, you know, from there, that allowed a lot of people to see what we were doing and doing things totally differently, which was the whole idea. And so breaking the rules is really what I like about this, is that all the traditional rules of how something should be done or run, you can totally reinvent yourself with this and drive it all the way through from the members. You can be dynamic and change quickly. You know, in Sun Tzu, the Art of War, he talks about if it's a small army, you can change direction very quickly. If you've got a big army, it's very hard to change direction quickly and it's cumbersome. And I think some of the associations had a lot of committees and other things and red tape and discussions and obviously a lot of safety involved traditionally, but perhaps being too safe and not actually trying to define where you could work, especially under COVID. And I think it was about, under COVID, was about proving that you could work safely. And that's what we did in those early days. And so I think, you know, being small and in a way, and I mean small as in the working body, you know, we're quite a big association now and we're growing all the time. I think it allows us to change direction and implement things very quickly. You know, Boris Johnson released his speech yesterday and went through the various items, and we updated our notes, you know, as usual, a couple of hours afterwards and gave out guidance. And we've done that all the way through. It's only taken a few hours and we've been straight out with very clear information, straight to the point, no sort of grey areas that people are worried about. And that allows people to work in confidence and without worrying whether they're breaking some rules or worrying that they're not safe. And I think those quick, easy decisions really define us, that we are changing the industry. And so there was the excitement of being able to do something like that. And fortunately, the Bath Board allowed me to go off and do this project. And it's really worked out well because I'm just driven by the enthusiasm from the members as well as the working group. And we can just drive things forward to new places.
Now, what I love about what you've just said is the safety aspect of things, because that obviously is one of the priorities of our association, that we want members to be treating safely, but also that their patients are being treated safely. And I must say that I personally also find the very, very swift information relating to COVID and what I can and can't do as a practitioner within my clinic, I find that very reassuring. And I know that that reassurance passes through to my patients as well. You mentioned the working group. Now, I am really, really pleased to be part of this working group. It just allows my mind to go a little bit free and to be creative. What I particularly like about it is that the organisation is led by acupuncturists. So within our working group, every single member is a practising current acupuncture practitioner. And it just feels as if we're all in synchronicity because we all have the same passion for our organisation. We met last week and had and spent some time together thinking about the direction of the organisation. And what I really, really adored about that meeting was A, physically meeting up for the first time, because we've been doing all of this work.
It's been too long.
Online. Yes, just meeting up in person, breaking bread with each other was wonderful. But also in terms of thinking about what we wanted to do and where we wanted to go, things just felt as if they were flowing. And from experience, I think that if it just feels like I'm in the right place at the right time, doing something that feels quite relevant right now, because everything was flowing as it should be. And from a Chinese medicine perspective, that's what we want within all of our bodies. We want
absolutely to avoid stagnation. Stagnation and association is just as bad as anywhere else, and to avoid that, I think it's important, but also to bring out the different creative sides of each person in the working group, because we've all got different things that we're passionate about, even though we have a common thread. And I think it's about expressing those. And, you know, when people come up with ideas and say, well, can I do? The answer is just, well, yes, let's go. Let's get it on with it and do it. You know, there's no reason to have too much overthinking, too much red tape, too much holding things back, when you can just say yes and allow someone with passion to be empowered and actually carry out what they really, truly want to do. I think they're the sort of people we want on board. And that's what we've got, fortunately.
And to give things a go. To try out new different areas. And that, I think, creates more enthusiasm. And frankly, this is what we need. This is what we need. This is what our medicine needs. The ability to be creative and to try things out and to hopefully, you know, essentially what we're all trying to do at the end of it is to improve the outcomes for our patients. And I think that just from the top of our organization, all of this positivity, I hope, is going to be having a trickling effect. Now, you mentioned earlier about our members being degree level trained. Could you tell me a little bit more about the entry requirements for the AAC?
Okay, we generally take, I mean, an easy way of looking at it is any of the degree level training that the BAAB has, you know, supported in the past with a lot of different colleges across the country, they would all be accepted. We do also accept, obviously, Chinese practitioners coming from China, and there, where the class is actually Chinese doctors and have done at least 5 years. And there are other people. Portugal's one of the great places where, again, they do thousands of hours. I mean, way more than we do in England at degree level. So they do, again, about 5 years worth of training and many more hours because they tend to be in clinic all the time, every day. So, you know, we try and aim at those sort of minimum requirements. There's occasionally the odd exception, but they're the really minimum requirements that we want for people to come into the association. And that gives the group all a good standing and same sort of similar training, similar background, and it helps the members gel together and understand each other, especially in communication on the website, on the Facebook, that sort of thing, where people are talking about certain strategies for treating. It would be much harder if there were a whole wide of range of members that were from different training, because you have all these different stewing pots of different ideas, which would confuse things, I think. So it's nice to have a group that's all sort of coherent and cohesive with what they're doing. So they're our minimum standards.
But also, I love this because this means that the public, when they're looking for an acupuncturist, they can look and see degree level training, that's 3-4 years worth of training, or like I've got a licentiate in acupuncture, and that is again a 3-year degree level of training, which means that our practitioners know what we're doing. We know what we're doing, and yes, hopefully we're going to be doing a lot more.
Yeah.
Chris, 2021 was hardly the time to be setting up anything, and yet our organization is thriving and gaining huge numbers of members every single month. What are some of the highlights for you as CEO? You've been having a big umbrella overseeing everything that's been taking part in our organization. What have some of the highlights been for you?
Well, I think even going back to 2020, some of the highlights were actually being able to open. That was one of the key things, you know, back in March, to actually have special permissions to open for emergency treatments and people who really had serious healthcare issues, because we are treating internal medicine. You know, when you balance a kidney or a liver issue, you're doing internal medicine. And this is what we need to, you know, get across to people, that we're not just doing sports injuries, although we can, of course, but there's a lot more depth to acupuncture. It can do so many different things, and people use it for different specialities, which is great. But really, the sort of more longer trained acupuncturists tend to concentrate on deep disease, people with very serious issues, and turning them around back to a normal life. So, you know, what's that worth? What can you do with something like that? It's just amazing. So to get those permissions was the first thing. And then in July, because we've been open and the healthcare professional group went back to full work in July. So that's the physios, the chiropractors, osteopaths, all allowed to go back. And there was a list, I think, of about 7 or 8. Fortunately, we put an application to be added to that, and they accepted us because of our previous safety that we'd done, allowing us to open in extreme conditions when all the other professional groups were actually closed. So we were open when they weren't. That's how safe we were to practice. We removed all the issues entirely. So getting that full permission to go back and be one of a few groups, there were 12,000 applications that were put in, and we were one out of that 12,000 that were accepted and put on that list. So if you think the work that went in to get through that process, and only, you know, we were the only people after 12,000 to be accepted and added there, which then, of course, allowed us to further push that and upgrade that. But if we were that standard, we could be in that healthcare professional status, which came late in November of that year. And then, of course, we've followed up from that since 2021. We've reduce insurance costs. I mean, someone actually quoted, someone put a little post up on the site saying, when did you ever see insurance costs go down in price? You know, and it's a good question. Mm. You don't. You know, we've done the cheapest, and is now definitely the cheapest, if you pay, that is, for Sharps. It's the cheapest Sharps disposal service that you can get. And it's not, we've broken all the rules again. We redesigned it. We listened to the members. We did a survey. And we went back to the Sharps disposal companies, and we said, this is the way we want to work. We're not doing it your way. You know, so to, and I love that, that we can totally redesign something that everyone else thinks is fixed. Everyone else thinks, oh, it's impossible to do. Instead, we've gone, well, it's not impossible. It just takes somebody at the other end to say yes. And we found two companies that said yes. One was very proactive, really backed it. And, God, it's probably one of the most popular services. And I think you've probably seen that post the other day from a lady on the association saying she saved £100 already. She's not even into a full year yet. She saved £100 on her current license, current Sharps disposal service that she was tied into. The hardest thing, she said, was not getting our service. It was getting out of the old service. It's really simple, really easy. And I think there's those sort of things where we can literally break down barriers, redo things, look at the small things in clinic, because we are acupuncturists ourselves and we suffer from those pains ourselves. And when someone points it out, you realise how long you've been suffering with that pain of maybe a shark's been disposal, contract that's driving you up the wall. And in case, instead, then you change it. Fortunately, I would say 70% of the changes have come from members' suggestions saying, well, could we do and what if? And we've gone and done it within days, usually, that it's up and running and been done. So that's the excitement about being able to deliver things that other associations perhaps have gone in with the mindset of it can't be done. You know, everything's obtainable. Everything is possible. You've just got to find a route. And it's not always obvious, but if you know, do a bit of detective work and a bit of driving, a bit of pushing, and go and see the right people, anything's obtainable, definitely.
So exciting. So exciting. Now, you've mentioned this a couple of times in terms of acupuncturists, members of our association and similar, having a healthcare professional status. What does that mean? Is this just a number on the Office of National Statistics figures? What does it actually mean for acupuncturists in practice?
Well, it's a great question, that we, and there's multiple times when we've had to put this to use and actually not just have it as a statistic, which of course is nice to have that you're listed there. You can show patients and colleagues, and you know, it's impressive in the fact of that you've moved up those places. But if it's not functional, you know, that's just a waste of time. And that's how we, well, certainly how I think in the AACs, that it's got to be functional to people. Otherwise, there's just no point of doing it in the first place to some extent. Unfortunately, we managed to use that to get people on the tier two system where they could go for their vaccinations much earlier as healthcare professionals. So we managed to do that. We also managed to apply it to the key worker status so that the kids could go back to school, that they were key workers and had to work in clinic. We also then did it when we didn't actually have to roll it out, but we got a guarantee from the government that during the petrol shortages, that we would be able to be on the list of having petrol as healthcare professionals. And we actually got that, but we never had to roll it out. So no, it was never announced. But in the background, we did the work. We said where we were. We said what we needed to do. And there were secondary healthcare workers, the NHS. And they said, OK, we'll look at it and we'll get you on the list. So again, that's something else. You know, these are things that are you actually doing and making use of that. And I'm not sure many of the associations, even though we weren't exclusive, we included other people that qualified for that, could use it. I'm not sure they made full use of it and going out and really using it to its maximum extent. Of course, April the 1st, we're expecting that potentially, and we'll have to see what happens with Boris because he changes his mind a lot, but we'll have to see whether actually the testing is not free anymore. I think they might extend it, but we'll have to see if they do remove testing that's free and that it will be charged or chargeable at that point. You know, we've already got plans in place. We've got one guaranteed scheme already organised, and that was organised last night in the small hours and organised that we can guarantee that our members will get free testing. The second system is we're also putting a backup system in place with the government then qualifying using the, again, our healthcare professional status that we can go in via that route as well. But either way, none of our members will be paying for tests. It's as simple as that. So, you know, again, it's not just about that figure, although, of course, it's nice to have and nice to go up 100 places. but it's about it being functional and actually carrying us forward. And the more we do with it, the more people start accepting that we are there, we are listening, and we upgrade constantly more towards a medical approach, or being thought of as more towards medical. And as I say, we are, you know, I know some people don't want to lose their internal sort of traditional roots going back thousands of years and jump straight to medical. And that's not what I'm saying, but we must have communication on those levels, and we must seen as being as professional as a medical professional, even though we do a speciality within that sort of remit. And that's really where we want to be aiming, where we want to go. So I think we're using it well. I'm hoping, in a way, you almost need a few challenges to come up, a few things that set you back so that you can make use of this. Unfortunately, we've had good opportunities where we've gone, oh no, this is terrible, but actually it's been a great opportunity for us to say, actually, this is really solvable, and it proves our point of where we have our standing. We are really there, we really have this. It's not just some, you know, figures written down in some lost directory on the ONS. It's actually working for us, and it's, people have gone in, got vaccinations, couldn't believe how easy it was, put into tier two by the GPs. We've had the kids in school. You know, if the petrol situation happened, we'd have had petrol, no one else would have done, you know, we'd have been fine. You know, and that's what it's all about, protecting our members and making sure our members have an easier way of dealing with things in clinic, because they are important to society. You know, we are NHS secondary healthcare workers. Without us over those periods, there'd have been a lot more cases in the hospitals.
Absolutely, absolutely. What my background before I trained in acupuncture, my degree was in experimental psychology. And I remember one marvellous experiment conducted by a man with a brilliant name called Sabini. And it essentially was, you know how people used to go door to door? If they stuck their foot into your door, then basically, if you get people to make a smaller concession initially, it's so much easier to get them to make a larger concession. And it is known as the foot in the door technique. So, for example, if you say to somebody, oh, go on, have one drink, it won't matter. It's a lot easier to persuade them to drink a whole bottle of something. So what I love about this is that we're in, the door has now opened because of this dry bit of documentation on the ONS, Office of National Statistics. This can now be leveraged and lever the door wide open. And I love that. I absolutely love that. And already in such a short amount of time, you've basically banged, you're banging down the door, Chris. You're banging down the door. I hope that we should get you some hobnail boots to help with that. Now, okay, so a lot has been achieved during lockdown. Restrictions are lifting now. Things in the air certainly begin to be feeling like things are beginning to move again quite quickly. What are the plans for the AAC? What are the plans for the future?
The ones that you can share anyway. Pardon?
The ones that you can share anyway.
Yes, there's some we're working on the background that are hard to share, but I think we can look at how we can move forwards towards more of a medical status on the long term, and perhaps look at whether that can be obtained in some remits. I think it can be done. I think there's also, we need to bring everyone together. For me, is the next one of the key things. You know, there's it's hard because obviously there's old political issues going back in the past from lots of associations, and associations are competitive to each other. That's a natural, there will be some natural issues there, and all associations have different levels of perhaps acceptance of training and other things. But unless we're going to make change on all these things, we need to come together. And there is no one way of doing this, but apart from still sitting around a table, finding the lowest standards and raising them. And I think that's our next stage, is really, I'm hoping that the AAC can really spearhead this and be someone that pushes this forward, where we do, rather than we just say, well, this is our level of education, for instance, and that, you know, these other people are not within that group, and that they're perhaps maybe some of them have been trained far too quickly, or don't have a full understanding, or perhaps are using techniques that aren't really acupuncture, they're a very minimal set of acupuncture. And then we can't really get them to change their minds unless you have conversation with them. it's okay criticizing people, but it's, you're not going to get change that way. You need them on board. You need to help them. And some people don't even know their standards are too low, or perhaps they aren't adequate for what they're doing. And when you point it out, I'm sure they'd be happy to change them. And the majority of associations also fairly pretty much standardize on how to treat from the point of needling and safety and those sorts of issues, which are fairly quick to learn. You don't need 3 years to learn about being safe. But what you do need time to learn is diagnosis and good diagnosis so you can treat patients really effectively and do them as much justice as possible by really getting to the cause of the issue. And that can take, obviously, years and years of experience on top of any training. But I think if you have a good depth and background of training, it gives you a huge advantage than if you've had a short training and, you know, that you really don't get into the diagnostics. This idea of doing acupuncture by numbers where you say, well, asthma is these points and that's that. You'll have some effect, of course you will, but you'll never, because you're not looking for the actual cause of the issue, which could be so many different things, external or internal, then you're never going to resolve the treatment for the client. And that's really unfair on the client and possibly, you know, unethical as well, because you're not, you know, it says in your ethics, if you cannot treat, you should refer. Well, if you can't treat adequately and diagnose adequately, you need to refer to someone who can and stick to whatever you're doing, you know, whether that be sports, acupuncture or whatever. So I think the thing is we need to get everyone sat around the table. And I think minds need to change on that. There's some old mindsets out there in associations, and I'm hoping that they will see this, listen to this, and they will look at being more open-minded and coming to the table, and that we can all together upgrade everything in the UK, not just on general standards, but education and acupuncture. So as a whole, we move it forward and we can push it out so that the public, the medical world, our healthcare colleagues can all see exactly what we're doing and how we've done it. And actually then we're all singing from the same hymn sheet, which then the government will be very interested in, I'm sure, looking at that moving forward, that we could move to, you know, that would become a group that we could really have some say for the government, because we're all cohesive and coherent in what we're doing. And unfortunately, right now, I'm not sure that's the case. We're all saying different things at different times, and I think it's very confusing for anybody. And the insurance companies have echoed that you know, they really don't know who to accept on their list of insurance companies, healthcare insurance, and that there are issues there regarding that. And if we could make one platform for that, I think that would resolve so many problems, and it would do so much for acupuncture in the UK in the first couple of years than has, again, been done for 20 years or so. So I think that's one of the key stages for me. That's one of the next steps to make sure that happens.
Chris Davis, I feel that acupuncture in the UK is in very, very safe hands. Thank you so much for joining us today on Acupuncture Point, a breath of fresh air. And thank you so much for all of your wonderful, wonderful work.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for listening to me and taking on the ideas. Thanks very much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Can you believe it? It is almost home time. And on that note, it is time for me to bid you a very, very fond farewell. But from me, Kevin Durgeon, I look forward to seeing you again next week. Lots of love to you. Goodbye.